Good morning. It is the Kenai Conversation. I am your host and MC, DJ Jazzy J. Normally this show is pretty serious, but you know, today we're talking about sports because what better time really to talk about sports than right after the new year? We had some big bowl games. NFL is getting ready for the playoffs here. Spring training is 42 days away, but all is well in the world here. And helping me talk sports are two local experts, the dudes from the Peninsula Clarion. Introduce yourselves, gentlemen.
All right. Well, Joey Klecka.
A regular.
A regular.
Yeah. You're a regular now.
This is my second time, so technically, yes, I am a regular, I suppose. So.
Yeah, and Jeff Helminiak, I'm the sports editor at the Clarion.
And you have been for 25 years.
Close enough. 20. Probably more like 20.
It's been 20, yeah. Yeah, I've come and gone since you've been there.
Yeah, a lot of people
and come back.
I mean, a lot of people have, not only here at the Clarion, but also at KDLL. You're back at KDLL now. It's good to see.
I know. Yeah, it's crazy. How'd your New Year's go, you guys? You guys still hungover?
You have to drink a lot to get hungover, but no, I did not. But had a good New Year's, yeah.
Well, I know Jeff's a lightweight, so.
No, I was actually fortunate to be in the hills above Homer, where there's actually real snow, where there's actually something called winter going on.
No.
Yeah, so it was a good time. I didn't even drink. I just skied a lot.
What's wrong with you?
I mean, what's right with me, I think, is the question.
I heard he made, I've been hearing he made really good pozole.
Yeah, and fajitas.
Like while you're out there camping?
It was like a dry cabin, basically.
Oh, okay. Man. More power to you. Well, you know, since you've been down that area, I know last week they opened up the Caribou Hills for snow machining.
Oh, yeah?
And does it bode well for the Tustamina 200?
That's a good question. I mean, they're getting snow up at elevation, but I mean, anywhere, obviously, like, you know, more towards sea level, like out in Kasilof, I mean, this can't be good for mushing. I mean, it's raining out there.
Yeah.
Or zambonying out there.
Yeah.
Maybe a more accurate term.
I thought for sure I passed one on my way in this morning.
Yeah. You waved to him?
I was white knuckled on my steering wheel. Yeah. I didn't dare take my hand off the steering wheel, creeping along at 10 miles an hour just to get here alive. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
That's wild.
Yeah. So they did have the T200 last year, right? Or was last year one of the years they skipped? But they skipped 2 years in a row because of no snow, right?
I'm fairly certain they didn't have it last year, did they?
I don't remember. You'd have to ask.
I should have invited the mushing reporters from the Clarion. Yeah. Nah, it's okay. Well, let's talk about organized sports then, instead of the disorganized mushing, which, by the way, I love mushing. I've mushed once in my life, and I have a little scar on my chin. Crashing.
Tells a story.
Yeah. So you guys had a terrific year in review sports section came out on Sunday.
It was very terrific. Yeah.
Yeah. What tell us some of the highlights of local sports here in the last year.
You know, I think a lot of the highlights are this, a lot of the same faces we've seen in previous years. The Soldotna football team, of course. You know, I mean, you know, they keep their winning streaks going. Allie Ostrander, local running phenom, you know, she won her first women's mount marathon race, and also won her first college, you know, national championship in the women's 3000 meter steeplechase. And then you had, you know, some of the big winners. The Nilchik boys basketball won the 1A state high school championship, which was their second in a row. And then those were the big winners, I guess, of the year. And there was a lot of other great moments. I wrote a big piece on that, and Jeff helped put together to help show everyone what happened this year.
Yeah, and one thing that I guess isn't necessarily a win in a game per se, but yeah, obviously the Kenai River Brown Bears announcing that they were going to be inactive for this season. And then a group of fans led by a fan named Steve Stuber was able to raise $300,000 in short order to make sure the team played again this year. So that was also a pretty big story. And then one that we normally kind of consider more news at the Clarion, but I guess a lot of people consider sports, and you know, it's kind of a distinction without a difference. But Mitch Seavey winning the Iditarod of Sterling, and he runs that operation over in Seward, and that's the sixth straight year for the Seaveys, either Mitch or Dallas, winning the Iditarod, and I think it's a third title for Mitch. So that's a big story too.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know, the Nanilchik basketball team, I remember when I moved here, the girls were like statewide powerhouses. They were winning it left and right every year. It's nice to see the boys team step up.
Under Dan Lehman.
Lehman, yeah.
Yeah, he was their the girls coach every year.
Yeah, and he had a daughter or two on the team, and they were always real good.
That was Jeff could tell you more about the girls teams, because that was before my time here. But yeah, they got, I think, won 8 state titles, the Nanilchik girls, I believe.
I mean, I'm not a walking encyclopedia like you are. But that was definitely a source of inspiration for the boys, was that every day they go to practice and they see all these girls' banners up in the gym. And there obviously was not any boys' banners until, you know, they won their first, they won those 2 state titles. That was the first 2 in school history. So that was a source of inspiration for them. And, it worked out.
Yeah. I always have a special place in my heart for any team named the Wolverines, because Dillingham is the Wolverines.
All right.
Yeah. So what's coming up in the second half of, well, I guess in the new year, the second half of the school year, sports-wise, that people should be, you know, keeping an eye on?
I mean, it's just your old typical, like, skiing, hockey, and basketball type stuff. I mean, hopefully they're able to kind of keep skiing. Yeah, I know there's some local skiers who are going to compete at those national championships up in Anchorage. I saw pictures from Anchorage today, and it's just a ski track winding through the woods with grass all around. Yeah. A pretty depressing sight, but at least the snowmaking has been able to make those championships possible.
Wow.
And then it's just wall-to-wall, like, basketball, a lot of hockey, Brown Bears, and that's pretty much the sports scene. And then hopefully snow also will happen, so we can get a Tustamina 200 going, and mushers can train and all that good stuff.
This is the time of year, these next couple of months, that me and Jeff are just, we just get, you don't see us because we're in the sports office. We're busy typing up basketball, you know, basketball agate, right, and stuff like that. I mean, just putting all the scores in the paper. But as much as, I mean, I'm sure Jeff would, you know, he'd probably tell you he loves covering basketball too, but I know I can tell for myself. And I love covering basketball, but man, it gets to be a lot of work. I mean, getting everything, you know, putting it all together. There's a lot of games every night, Friday, Saturday nights.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. There's gotta be. Do you guys try to go to all of them, or are you getting, you got the transistor radio in one ear and you're watching another game in person, or what are you doing?
We go to as many of the local ones as we can cover. We're capable of, I guess. But it's just, and then everything else we get either, you know, coaches typically send us score sheets, so we try to get all the information.
Yeah, so. Who's the powerhouse this year, boys and girls?
I mean, here in the peninsula, I mean, the Nanilchik boys lost a good chunk of that senior talent, that starting core that they had last year. So I can't, it's hard to say what they're going to have, but I'd say right now, I mean, the team to watch for that's a huge threat would be like the Nikiski girls at the class 3A level. So of the 4 levels, they're 3A, which is the second largest. And last year they, I mean, they were just one of the top teams in their conference, I don't want to say they fizzled out at state, but they lost their best player with an injury, and so now she's back, it seems like they got most of that core back, and you know, they're capable of playing with some of the big teams.
Yeah, and Kenai and Soldotna, as usual, being at that top level, the 4A level, it's just a really tough level to be at with the school size. So, you know, they look good against against schools that are their size, but when they have to start playing schools of 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 people, it gets to be tougher to succeed.
Oh, yeah. You know, I talked to Joey about this last time I had him on. Let me get your impression about the closing of Skyview High School and how that affected the varsity sports in the Central Peninsula. What do you think changed when that happened?
Obviously, it did two things. The first was it gave Soldotna more students to draw from. It's obvious there. But also, there were great coaches at Skyview, and you've seen a lot of them move over to Soldotna. I could try and list them off. I'll probably miss a few, but like volleyball, Sheila Kupfer-Schmid, football, Eric Pomerlau, who's been a major part of the Soldotna football team's success as an assistant coach, Neldon Gardner, who many would say is the best wrestling coach in the state of Alaska, but if he's not, it wouldn't take them long to call the role. So those are just a few of, I don't know if I'm forgetting anyone, Joey, that immediately jumps to mind, but those are really solid coaches. So they've been able to, another guy, Indy Walton, who's come back to coach the hockey team. He's a really good hockey coach. He coached Skyview way back in the day. So not only have they gotten more students, but they've got some really excellent coaches that have moved over to Soldotna. So it has definitely helped Soldotna become more of a sports powerhouse, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm. What's their enrollment there now?
I think there are about 700 if you include the prep school. And I guess I'd be remiss if I didn't mention cross country and Ted McKinney too. I mean, he's a guy who's been doing it for 30 years, extremely knowledgeable. And he's coaching cross country running at Soldotna right now. So there's another one. I mean, they moved, I mean, over probably 100 years of coaching experience over to Soldotna. That's huge.
That's a good way to put it, combined years. Yeah, it's probably 100 or so.
Yeah.
Wow.
Off the top of your head, probably, yeah.
Man. Did any coaches go elsewhere besides Soldotna?
I mean, like, say, Jesse Settlemyer was coaching basketball. He's doing assistant work at Kenai now. But I think most of them went to Soldotna. It was a natural fit.
Huh. Man. Let's see. So I'm not sure about the seasons here and the way ASA screws with things. Has wrestling started yet? Or is it over?
It just wrapped up before the holidays.
Oh, okay. What? How'd we do?
Homer on there's the two levels, the Division One and Division Two. The Homer wrestling team finished second at state. The Homer wrestling team's really become a powerhouse at that level at Division Two. They've the last 3 years they have a state championship and two runner ups. They're just a good deep team down there. So and then at the Division One level, it's just hard to compete. You know, Kenai Soldotna, again, it's hard to compete with teams that have big numbers like Colony, or the Anchorage teams. But there was Gideon Hutchison won a state championship, and of course that's the 12th for his family. The Hutchison family now own 12 state titles between five kids now.
Right, one of them was Michaela, right?
Yeah, Michaela Hutchison.
And she was a kind of a pioneering girl wrestler.
She was, and she won the first, she was the first female wrestler to win a state wrestling title against, competing against boys. So that was about a decade ago.
Yeah. Wow, and so the family's got 12 now.
12, yep. Count them.
Wait, now is it not 12 different kids?
No. Five, 12 titles, 12 state titles between five kids. Yeah.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah.
And so, are there like high school skiing teams around here?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I don't know these things yet.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what kind of ski competition do they do in high school? Of course, clearly because it's not done in Kodiak. I know. You know, because out here right now, this is cold for Kodiak.
That's true. There isn't a Kodiak ski team.
No hockey team either. So this is cold and dry for Kodiak, what we got going on right now.
Dry, yeah. Pretty dry out there.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, the ski teams around here, there's no divisions. The whole state, every ski team, they all ski together. So the state championships, one big meet. The ski teams around here have a couple local studs that really, that they can ski with the best that Anchorage and the Valley other teams have to offer. So, again, we just need a couple more inches of snow right now out there. I actually just skied the trails myself yesterday, the Salteshi trails. They're not looking good. I mean, I'd say maybe if you can bring a groomer out there and crunch all that ice into sugar snow, it may be skiable for the teams, but hopefully they're coming back from holiday break soon and they'll have something to look forward to.
But you're not optimistic?
Not for the next couple of days.
Yeah. You want to talk about national sports?
Yeah. And talk about anything.
Oh, man.
How about them Cubs? How about them? They're bringing Arrieta back?
I just saw that headline today. They're looking like they might be.
My sister actually she just went by Miller Park the other day, speaking of the rivals, the Milwaukee, the Brewers. So she was excited to see that park for some reason.
It's a nice park. I visited it this summer.
Very nice.
On Jay's Great Escape. It was pretty nice. Though, you know, my seat in Miller Park, it was down the right field line. It was further away than the rooftop seats at Wrigley.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think you discovered what they designed Miller Park to be, and it's like a walking park. There's like a number of pavilions, open spaces all around the park where you can walk and just watch the game there.
Yeah.
Until you discover that about Miller Park, I think it's just a standard ballpark. But I mean, there's one that's like maybe 20 rows behind home plate. Then you can just go up the right and left field lines and just watch the game from all these different angles.
Oh, wow. Yeah, there was a big plaza area in foul territory on right field. It was just like down and below to my left there where I was sitting.
Yeah, they have a number of those stationed throughout the park.
Yeah.
So, you know, the last time I went to the game, a time they actually beat the Cubs, I was able to kind of go around the park and enjoy all those views of the Brewers beating the Cubs.
I was disappointed they didn't have the big tube slide open to the public.
Oh.
Out in center field.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah. I mean, just the Brewer guy mascot is the only one who gets to go on it, I think. Yeah.
They could accommodate you at the Nikiski pool if you want.
People just try to roll me back into the water when I try to get out. Man, well, so Jeff, are you a Brewers fan then? I mean,
I would say yeah. I mean, they're the team I grew up with as a child. So yeah, I'm definitely a Brewers fan. I mean, it's been tough. There's been a lot of lean years, but
almost this year, almost year.
Yeah, I mean, the Cubs kind of toyed with them all season. I'm not quite sure how the Brewers hung on. But I definitely have been a fan. It's been tough, you know, with not having a lot of finances available to the Brewers. I can remember, I think when I became really disillusioned, I was outside the stadium, the old County Stadium, waiting to go and watch them play, and I found out they had traded Greg Vaughn, their best player, just as part of like a cash-saving move. And it's kind of like, why do I want to go into the ballpark, you know? I mean, this team has no money to pay its stars. But I could never see following, like, another team.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you want to go into football?
Oh, well, I was going to ask you about the prospects for the Cubs. Do you see other pitchers heading our way, because we lost Hendricks, right, for sure?
No. Arrieta, it's all this time it seemed like he's been eyeing, he's asking for, the Cubs really can't provide him, although they, like you said, they just last day or two gave him an option for 4 years, I think $110 million, something like that. I think he's looking for a little longer. I don't know, but it sounds, you know, it seems like just within the last day or two that they've kind of, they're kind of looking more seriously at retaining Arrieta. No, Hendricks is still with the team. Lester is still the old veteran. He's still there. I think Lackey is the guy. Lackey's he's probably retired. And then there were a couple other. Who was the other starter? Who was I'm trying to think of who they really lost, but they're in need. Obviously, they're in need. I think we talked about this last time of their bullpen. They need to bulk up their bullpen. So they brought in Brandon Morrow, who was with the Dodgers, I believe. So hopefully he'll offer some relief.
Yeah.
Which guy? Who are you trying to think of here? Are you thinking of a starter?
Yeah.
Yu Darvish.
Yeah, Yu Darvish.
They're looking at Yu Darvish. Yeah. I mean, he looked ugly in the World Series. So.
He sure did.
Yikes! I mean, I still don't. I still think he's capable. I mean, we've seen what he's capable of. He had two ugly games in the World Series. I don't know. I mean, I have no problem with the Cubs looking at him. There's a couple other guys they're looking at. Is it Chris Archer? I believe of the Tampa Bay. There's another guy that they're looking at. So they got a little money to spend on guys, but
yeah, there was some talk about when Stanton was coming available,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, on the Cubs boards they were talking about, well, would you trade Schwarber or somebody else? Yeah, wearing the Schwarber jersey.
Yep.
Yeah, somebody, core to the team to get Stanton. And I kind of wasn't convinced.
They don't want to trade Schwarber. He seems like more of an American League player. We've seen a lot of, bumbles from him out in the field. He's a great hitter, obviously, but he's more of a designated hitter type of guy. I'm surprised, that's someone you'd think they'd want to. They could use him to as a trading piece, but
they're super high on him. You're right.
Yeah, they are. I think he's just the fans love him. I don't know.
That series against the Cardinals where he hit the grand slam.
Was
awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it brings a lot of power. Hopefully, they tried him in the leadoff spot a little bit this last year, and I don't know if that really worked out well.
Yeah, I tried everybody at the leadoff spot.
Yeah, as much as Theo Epstein has a reputation as an analytics-type general manager, he also really is into the culture of his ball club. And I think that's what he sees in Schwarber. He's like a former linebacker in high school. Mm-hmm. He brings a real hard-nosed attitude to the team, and I think that's really why they want to hang on to him, even though he looks like he should be an American League DH.
Yeah.
We have a phone call. Can you believe that? Put your headphones on, guys, and we will go to the phone.
Someone's going to tell us that we made a mistake.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, it's Shaylin in Sterling, longtime listener, first-time caller.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome.
Little weather update. It is snowing like bananas out in Sterling, so... maybe that's good news for the mushers and the skiers. I don't know. Hopefully it'll push on towards the ocean a little bit more.
Yes, please.
That could be. Any mushing going on out there in Sterling today?
Not yet. I might have I might get the news dog strapped in here a little bit later to get into town. We'll see how it goes. I just wanted to give a quick shout-out to the sports day to my Iowa State Cyclones, who, despite horrendous officiating, were able to squeak out a victory in the Liberty Bowl over the weekend. That was awesome. And also, the Cubs don't need to be spending Scott and Forrest money on Jake Arrieta. He's on the wrong side of 30. His numbers have taken a dive the last 2 years, and that's it. I'll take your comments off the air. Thanks, guys. Sounds great.
All right. Thanks, Sam. What do you think?
Yeah, his numbers really have taken a dive. I mean, he's over 2.0 ERA. I mean, that's really by his standards. That's really, by his standards, a poor year. No, I'm kidding. He's on the wrong side of 30. Yeah, I know. He is getting a little long in the tooth. I don't know. I mean, I still, I thought this last year, 2017, we still saw a little bit of the Arrieta magic in him late in the year. And then in early September, he got hurt in a game against Pittsburgh, pulled his hamstring, I believe. And that kind of ended that momentum that he had. He was really pitching well there this year. So I know he's, I don't think, you know, what he's asking for is a little much. You know, I think 6 years is what I've heard, but,
I could see 4 years.
4 years is doable, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you
and
know,
reevaluate
I mean,
him at some
and
point.
I think he's good enough, you know, and, you know, Pat Riley zen enough to come back from last year.
I don't think, and I don't, it's, there's not, at this point, you know, some of the other top names, I'm not sure what else you got available out there. Again, we've mentioned like Yu Darvish. I believe Chris Archer was a name that, again, I'm mentioning that those are guys that seem like they're, the Cubs are looking at seriously, but, I think I feel most comfortable, and this is just coming from me as a fan. I just feel the most comfortable with Arrieta, but, hey, if he goes out there and stinks it up this year, then, well, so be it.
Yeah.
I think it's all about how much you believe in Pilates. I mean, he's a big Pilates guy. Can that keep him going over 30 or not?
That's true. You know, what do you think, Jeff? I think that there just aren't enough quality pitchers to go around with the way managers are using them these days and the size of major league rosters.
What do you mean by the way managers are using them? It seems like they're pitching them a lot shorter in the games.
Yeah, so you need more pitchers, and the roster size hasn't changed, hasn't gotten any bigger. Yet you need to use more pitchers in a game than you used to even 10 years ago, I'd say. Maybe even 5 years ago.
With all the pitching changes, what are games now, 5 hours, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think the managers are kind of doing what's best. I mean, has there ever really been enough quality pitching to go around? I mean, I would say probably not. But if what you're advocating is for these starting pitchers to go longer into games, I mean, I think it's been relatively proven that it's tougher to produce offense against all these specialists that come in now late in the game than it would be to see a guy, you know, 3-4 times in the same game. It's easier to produce offense against him, unless it's someone like your Justin Verlander or someone like that. Yeah. Are there enough Justin Verlanders to go around? As a Brewers fan, I would say no.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking that raising the pitching mound back up to 1968 heights might help.
That's so you're looking to give the pitchers more of an advantage?
Yeah.
I mean, I think the game is fine. I mean, if you give the pitchers more of an advantage, I think one thing that's ailing Major League Baseball these days is it's kind of getting to be a softball type league. And by that, I mean, it's kind of almost like strikeouts and like home runs, you know? So if you were to raise the mound more, I think you just see a lot more strikeouts. And I think, you know, part of the charm of baseball is seeing the ball in play once in a while, huh? So I think you want to at least kind of keep the batters on an even keel with the pitchers. I don't think you need to raise the mound.
This was the year of the home run, the record year.
Yeah.
Home runs.
Yeah, and I don't think there are enough pitchers to go around. How about increasing the roster size so you could add more pitchers?
I mean, I guess I would be fine with that, but I don't know if you're going to have all these good pitchers to add.
No, they'll all be lousy because they're already so few of them that are any good.
Yeah, and pitchers are working at the edge of their physical capacity. I mean, you know, most athletes, when they do something, maybe, you know, it's 75-80% of what their body can take. I hear when a pitcher throws a pitch, it's like almost 98% of, like, say, what that ulnar lateral, that ligament in the elbow can withstand. So I think it's just a natural thing where pitching is going to be a scarce commodity, you know.
So, no. You don't think we need more pitchers?
I mean, I think baseball, for the most part, except for time of game issues, is fine the way it is.
Okay. Yeah. How about expansion into Mexico or Cuba?
Bringing in some teams?
Yeah, teams? New teams.
Well, has that even been discussed?
I think a couple of years ago when Obama was opening up Cuba, there was like a little tiny bit of buzz. Like, oh, man, you know, it's so close. We could open a team here. And then Then, of course, Mexico City said, hey, what about us, you know?
We got a Toronto team. We got Toronto.
Yeah, you used to have Montreal.
That's right. Yeah, Montreal. Yeah. We got a couple teams north of the border. Well, one team.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I don't know about Vancouver, but it's a huge town. They might be able to support a team.
What are the economics of that as far as, I mean, size of economy and stuff like that? I mean, that's where these teams want to locate, where there's a lot of money. Not necessarily where there's a lot of enthusiasm.
You think there's a lot of money in Mexico City? Right?
I'm not sure. I have not come prepared to discuss the economics of Mexico City today.
I'd make some uninformed joke about the economy of Milwaukee, but I visited there, and it's a wonderful town. And it looks like the economy is booming. It seems very...
I don't know that it's necessarily nice. Booming, but they do okay there for sure.
Yeah. I liked it. I would move there if push came to shove.
If push came to shove.
Yeah. If somebody forced me to move there, I wouldn't object. Let's put it that way. A short drive to Chicago anyway. So.
Oh. But plus the Cubs come to play there a number of times every year.
They do. Yeah. I watched the Dodgers play the Brewers. Kershaw.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he threw 9 strikeouts. Got pulled in the 4th inning, and it was the game that set the National League record for strikeouts, combined strikeouts in a game.
See, there you go. All those strikeouts and home runs I was talking about.
That's every run was on a home run, too.
Yeah.
It was 2-1, I think, or 3-2.
The Brewers had a series last year where every run they scored was on a home run.
I think the Cubs had a series like that, too, actually.
Yeah, strikeouts and home runs.
Man. You guys got any predictions for the upcoming year? How your teams are going to do?
Going back to the World Series, the Cubs.
Yeah,
I don't know. There's not a lot of hope with most. I mean, as being a Chicago sports fan myself, I mean the Cubs are kind of where I have all my money. Blackhawks are they're usually a sure bet to make a playoff run, but yeah, Bears. Bears are coming off a 5-11 season. They just fired their coach.
You didn't? I didn't think they could do worse than Cutler.
You didn't think so, yeah. I never hated Cutler. He gets a lot of hate because of his surly attitude and his supposed leadership skills that he's lacking. I was never a big fan of him, but I also didn't like. I thought, sometimes you gotta go with what you got, and like when you got a guy like Cutler, sure he makes a couple of key mistakes, you know, when the game's on the line, but. Who else are you going to get? Sometimes you're looking at the quarterback. Again, it's like the same thing with the same argument with baseball. It's like, who are you going to get sometimes? I mean, Cutler beat the Tom Brady and New England Patriots this year in a game.
Oh, man.
I don't think he ever did that in his tenure at Chicago.
Well, probably not. Hey, sorry about your Packers, man. It took the gas pipe.
I mean, I'm fine. There was at one time a Packers team that was terrible. Those are the Packers I grew up with. So a year like this just kind of rolls right off my back.
You know, when the Cubs failed to make the playoffs or the World Series this year, everybody was all, oh, Jay, you must be so disappointed. Like, no, I've been a fan for 40 years, and they mostly don't make the playoffs at all. So I'm fine.
Yeah.
They won it all last year.
3 straight NLCS trips.
Yeah.
You don't ever see that much.
Yeah. Oh, man. So what do you think their prospects for next year? Rodgers coming back? Is he going to be healthy?
Yes, he should be totally healthy. I mean, he was actually able to play in that one game this season when they still had a glimmer of hope for the playoffs. So the right collarbone... should heal up. Obviously, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. The NFL is a quarterbacks league. So, that puts them out front toward having a good team next year. They've let go of their defensive coordinator, Dom Capers. Their general manager, Ted Thompson, has been moved down the hall. So, there'll be some new energy in the organization. And I think they should be fine. The problem in the NFL is getting over the hump. You know, the Packers have been able to get to the playoffs for so many straight years before this year. But then you're always drafting later in the first round. You have a hard time getting those playmakers that make the difference. So you end up just doing what the Packers have done, and that's just getting into the first round or second round of playoffs and losing. So they need to find a way to get over the hump, and I don't know. I'm somewhat skeptical they can find a way to do that, but at least they should be able to get back to having success and making the playoffs, I would think.
Mm-hmm. You don't think Rodgers is on the wrong side of, what, 50?
I mean, like Tom Brady is 40, and he's playing as well as he ever has. So
he's only 40?
I think so.
Really?
40, yeah.
Tom Brady.
Wow.
Yeah, so I think Rodgers was shaping up to have one of his best years this year, so I think he's fine. The question is whether the injury bug starts to catch up with him. Part of his success is always moving outside of the pocket and throwing. That's obviously the type of play where he broke his collarbone this year. So will he have to change his game to stay healthy? Can he keep moving outside of the pocket and taking those hits?
They got a good,
that's the question.
Got a good line in front of him?
I mean, okay. I think the quarterback, a lot of times in the NFL, kind of makes the line. So I think the line is good enough. You know, I mean, if you've got a quarterback like Rodgers or Brady with a quick release who's able to make quick decisions, get the ball out in, say, 3.5, 3.6 seconds, it's not too hard for a 300-pound guy to stay in front of someone for that limited amount of time and let him throw the ball.
He's got a little inspiration and a little motivation this year. He's now, there's rumors flying, he's dating race car driver Danica Patrick.
What?
That's my little, that's my little info bit for the day.
Whoa, wait a second. Did she leave her husband?
She had been dating a fellow race car driver.
No, they were married, mm-mm, weren't they?
Well, she had a husband. She had a previous husband, yeah, as well before that.
Right.
But these are just rumors. In the last day or two, I've heard that she's now dating Aaron Rodgers. So,
man.
How about that, if that's true?
Yeah. Darn it. I thought I was next in line, quite honestly.
Yeah, well, me too.
not for Aaron Rodgers, for Dan Patrick.
I'm not going to comment on rumors.
Yeah, here we got the Clarion Reporter. That's me, you know, spreading rumors. If it's false, then, you know.
Yeah, this is going to get back to Aaron Rodgers, this conversation right here. Somehow, I don't know.
Somehow, it's on the internet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, segueing to NASCAR, what did you think of the chase this year?
That's my forte.
It is. Your wheelhouse.
I mean, what did I think of? I thought the right guy prevailed as the champion, Martin Truex Jr. I'd be interested to see how many people listening to this are actually follow the sport. But I thought the right guy, I thought the right guy won. And that's coming after a year in which I thought the wrong guy won. And I hate to say it, but I mean, I really, you know, the 2016 championship saw Jimmy Johnson winning his record tying 7th championship, and you know, Jimmy Johnson will surely go down as one of the greatest NASCAR drivers of all time. You can't discount 7 titles. You know, I think he's in the top 5 for most career wins. But I really felt like that particular year, 2016. I thought he was a benefactor of a faulty points system, a faulty championship system, one that doesn't always reward the best driver. And I felt like he kind of snuck his way and the championship really fell into his lap that year.
He didn't have a lot of wins, right?
He had a couple wins.
He just racked up a lot of points, though.
Basically what happened that year, again, 2016, was by Jimmy Johnson standards, Team 48, they just struggled most of the season. They just kind of did not look like their typical selves. He won a couple races that lock up his playoff spot, and then early in the season, and then he just kind of struggled and just did not look like a championship team. And then when the chase started, the playoff system started in NASCAR, they just got a couple key wins here and there to keep advancing through the rounds that they have. And then when it came to the final race of the year, the championship race, there's 4 drivers head to head. He was really the 4th out of 4. He was in that particular race, the season finale. He didn't even look like the best. And then it came down to the last couple laps, couple guys that were in contention to win, ended up getting taken out. They got wrecked, and he kind of slipped through and won the Ray Wright championship right then. And so it was a bitter taste in my mouth. But anyway, so that followed up by this year, in which the guy that was the dominating car of the year, that Martin Truex, really kind of helped soothe things, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think of Danica Patrick not racing this year, except for like Daytona?
I mean, it's part of a huge drain of star power in NASCAR. And right now is a massive transition period for the sport. You got Dale Earnhardt Jr. just retired, the most popular driver in the sport, just retired. Danica Patrick's leaving the sport. She says she's only going to race the Daytona 500 next year. You got Carl Edwards just retired, announced his retirement last year. Jeff Gordon is out of the sport after 2 years ago. Last year was Tony Stewart's final year. It's a massive drain of star power. But
as a Wisconsinite, I'd be remiss if you didn't mention Kenseth.
I can't believe that. I knew there was someone I was missing there. Yeah, Matt Kenseth is hasn't announced retirement, but he doesn't have a ride for next year. So that's a guy, and it seems like he's won his last race. So those are, I think, what, five guys I just mentioned. Four guys and a girl that are out of the sport now that were some of the most popular names in the sport. I mean, but here's the thing about NASCAR and any sport is you always got stars coming up. And right now you got a lot of young talent, a big surge of young talent that are getting, taking over those rides. Guys like, Kyle, guys who are already in the sport and winning, Kyle Larson, Chase Elliott, Daniel Suarez is a Mexican born driver who's bringing a lot of fans. Eric Jones, Ryan Blaney. That's my guy. Yeah. Yeah, Ryan Blaney. I mean, he won his first race this year. Austin Dillon, I'll say, won his first race this year. So a lot of young talent that are coming up to fill those roles. So people are saying, well, NASCAR's, it's dying as a sport, and there's certainly issues that it has. But as far as star power, it's going to be replaced. I have no issue there. So that's what we're seeing right now.
Yeah. You know, these things ebb and flow. I mean, NFL is ebbing. NBA, according to what I'm reading, is flowing. So probably the same with NASCAR. Mm-hmm. What do you think of, I was thinking the other day what Danica Patrick should do next. And I think she should get into drag racing.
In the drag racing?
Yeah. No, seriously. Women have tremendous success in drag racing.
They do. I was actually just going to mention that Courtney Force,
and her sister Brittany
Force,
and then there's like three others who's in Erica. Both Top Fuel and Funny Car.
It's a of all the motorsport disciplines, that's where women thrive the most and very easily thrive the most.
Yeah, and I think it was Shirley Muldowney, set that standard 40
years ago. Yeah,
yeah. But I think, Danica's got a racer's reflexes.
Yeah.
You know, she's not afraid of going fast.
Yeah. IndyCar. She went from IndyCar to NASCAR. So now she could go to drag racing.
Yeah. I think she should, start in alcohol or maybe top work fuel. Her way up and then get up to – I guarantee you somebody will give her a Top Fuel ride in 2 years.
Yeah, bound to. The only problem – not the only problem, but the only thing it comes down to is what she wants to do is drag racing. It's she used to drive she used to drive Indy cars. The thing about NASCAR is the safe of the top series in the world. NASCAR is probably the safest in terms of your chances of getting hurt in a crash. I mean, because you got the full car around you, got a roll cage around you, and the cars themselves are a little slower than some of the other series, like say IndyCar, Formula One. IndyCars, when you look at the car, it's an open cockpit car. So if you the chances of your cause of injury getting in a crash are higher just because you don't got anything ahead, you don't got anything above your head. If that car goes over, who knows what could happen. Drag racing. When crashes do happen in drag racing, they're pretty ferocious. So it depends on what Danica wants to do. I'm being the highly obsessive racing fan I am. I mean, I follow pretty much every driver on social media, and it seems like her personal life or her social life is pretty is going well. I think she's pretty happy outside of her career. I think she's got some businesses on the side. I know she has a wine business right now. She has her own wine, so. And that the wine, like as in like grapes, not like wine, like what she does on the radio. No.
Man. Shoot, I was gonna agree with you and say something along this line. Yeah. Danica Patrick.
I think she just.
So you don't think that she's necessarily in a hurry to.
Nah, she's. Well, I think she's in her mid 30s now, early to mid 30s.
32.
She's still got some years. I mean, she wants to continue racing somewhere. You know, she's still got years there where she can do it. But
well, you know, when she switched from IndyCar to NASCAR, those cars are significantly heavier and they don't have power steering.
No.
And
the cup cars do.
They do now.
There's power steering in NASCAR. Yeah.
Oh, okay. They didn't when she joined them.
I'm not sure about that. Off the
go. Yeah. Wow, we have found something he's not sure about when it comes to NASCAR.
But you know, I was thinking, you know, maybe. I always wondered if that was going to be a detriment to her, you know,
because she's a small person.
She's tiny. She's 5'4" or something.
Yeah, she's a small person. So it maybe it's like how does she handle the? I mean, it's tough to handle a stock car versus an Indy car. I mean, if you've ever seen, if you go and look at, there's been throughout the years there's been several like big superstars swapping rides. Like a number of years ago, Tony Stewart swapped his stock car with a Formula One star, Lewis Hamilton, and he got to drive a Formula One open wheel car, and Lewis Hamilton drove Tony's stock car. And it's amazing to hear what the drivers think. Jeff Gordon did that with Juan Montoya one year at Indy a number of years ago. He swapped his stock car and he got behind the wheel of a Formula One car, and those things are lightweight. I mean, they're like less than half the weight of a stock car, and they're much more speedy around the corners. I mean, you can the steering, the way those cars drive is much nicer than a stock car. Stock car is like big bulky tank you're driving around, and it's just it's fast and if you can get that thing up to speed, but it's not fun to drive if you're a race car driver.
I once read something that at about 65 miles an hour a Formula One car could drive on the top of a tunnel because there's so much downforce.
I'm not sure what the speed would have to be, but the amount of aerodynamic downforce that a Formula One car same thing goes for an Indy car. I've read that aerodynamic downforce that pushes it into the ground. I mean, you could drive upside down and the car would stick to the ceiling because it's got that much downforce pushing it there.
Yeah. You know what? Along those lines, I read something. I don't know if it was on ESPN or might have been the New York Times, actually. But there was a story about, you know, with Popular Mechanics. And it was a story about how they took one time an Indy car or a Formula One car. It was an Indy car.
Okay.
And they took it to Bonneville. And they wanted to see how fast it can go.
The salt flats, yeah.
Yeah, but they were going to do it as stock as they could. And they could only get to like 320 miles an hour. Because
320?
Yeah, because there's so much drag and downforce, you know, with the standard package that it just didn't have enough power to go any faster. You would think that one of those things, you know, with 1,000 horsepower or more could, you know, just take off, but they're not streamlined. They're made for sticking to the ground.
There's 320. I mean, that's I've never heard of those kind of numbers for an Indy car, but maybe I know when it comes to those are obviously some of the most powerful engines in the world, but based on what track they're running at, they have different aerodynamic specifications. So like in a big oval like Indy, you want to trim that car as much as you can to keep make it as streamlined as possible to cut through the air. So sacrifice downforce to the corners because the straightaways are long. But if you're on a road course, obviously you put as much on that car to keep it, you know, to keep it, give as much downforce as possible. But the salt flats, I know if you bring an Indy car there, I'm sure you can bring it up over 250 at least miles per hour.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What other sports you like, Jeff? Are we excluding you?
I said NASCAR and IndyCar. I said Formula One. How about sports cars?
Have you been watching? You know what? I've been watching the last couple of years a lot of Formula One.
Yeah,
I mean it's I love those racetracks. I love the fact that they're compact. There are lots of turns, and there are stands everywhere. I mean, the Mexico City Grand Prix comes to mind because it has like four corners, and it's all completely surrounded by stands. It's like in the middle of
a former baseball stadium is what that was is what that is on the track.
Oh, no
the,
kidding!
The part of the track runs through the stands of what was a baseball stadium.
That's what it looks like. I never knew that, man. But all these tracks, you know, and they're just so intimate, I guess.
Yeah, so,
though there is a lot of complaints about not much room for passing.
No, you know,
well,
there's
a lot of that these days.
I think the most interesting track there is, but it's probably also the most boring track as far as actual on-track action, is Monaco. You ever watch the Monaco Grand Prix? That's that's a track that they've been racing at since the 20s that the current cars have outgrown the track. I mean, what they used to run there back in the 20s and 30s are much different than what they have now. Their cars are simply too fast and too big. The such narrow little city streets in the Principality of Monaco. It's a beautiful city, beautiful setting. I mean, it looks like gold on TV, but you watch a race there, there's just, you can't pass because there's just no time or no room to make a pass on a fellow competitor.
Yeah, it's like the only spot is that straightaway with a tunnel near the waterfront.
Yeah, yeah, there's a little tunnel like you pop out and towards the waterfront.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Is that the place where you see old pictures of that course and there's like just fans like standing on the side of the road?
Yeah,
yeah.
There's fans standing, photographers on the sidewalk as the car's racing by. They got hay bales. They used to use hay bales. That was their that were their barriers. Like, well, that's a good thing to use is if a flaming car comes at you, a hay bale. You look at these old pictures, you're like, no wonder you had one driver die each year.
Yeah.
I can understand that.
Man. Well, you know, they at one point they decided to get rid of the sharp-edged curbs. You know, you go to Monaco now and they've got the rounded sidewalk curbs.
Yeah, some of the higher speed corners, they've installed chicanes, obviously corners and curves that slow the cars down before they get to a high speed part of the track. There was a big safety push after Ayrton Senna was killed in 1994, where they introduced a lot of chicanes to keep straightaway speeds down at different tracks. So.
You know, I was watching that documentary about Senna.
Yeah. The one called Senna?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was watching it. It was late, you know, and it was really interesting. It was a couple of years ago, and I said, I can't stay up any later. So I turned it off, and I was going to finish it the next night, you know. Yeah. And all the next day, I'm thinking about it. I was like, oh, holy cow, I know how this is going to end. It's going to end horribly.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And then, you know, then I watched the second half and that was a case where the open cockpit did him in, you know, it was a tie rod or something flew up and impaled him.
He was, I think it was just a blunt force in the side of his head when he hit the wall. At the track he was at. I mean, he hit the wall so hard that I think it was the side force, open cockpit.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. Jeff?
Yes?
We cut you off, sorry.
Oh, I'm pretty happy that I was able to make three educated comments, although they were short, about auto racing.
Yeah, that's something that's more than usual.
More than ever.
You want to talk about football? We got
We got some football. How did you like those playoff games the other day? The first one was great.
The college ones, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Rose Bowl, first Rose Bowl, I think in 104 years, it's 104 year history, the first Rose Bowl to go to overtime.
I know. Who knew that? That's crazy.
I thought Alabama beat Clemson in the other semifinal, and so the championship's going to be Alabama versus Georgia.
All SEC.
I really think, and I could be wrong here, but I really think Alabama dodged one not having to face Oklahoma. I mean, I know, Georgia beat him in overtime, but I thought, like, I felt like they would have gotten a much stiffer challenge against Baker Mayfield, the Heisman winner, and the rest of the Oklahoma Sooners. I think the Georgia quarterback is a freshman, isn't he? Jake Fromm?
Yeah, I think he's a true freshman.
True freshman, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that he can't handle the pressure. I mean, if you got an experienced veteran, like, and Heisman winner in Baker Mayfield, I feel like Alabama dodged one.
Yeah, I'm so tired of Alabama.
And Nick Saban's, what, 11-0 against former assistant coaches?
Yeah.
His former assistant coaches that have gone on the other coaching jobs, and every time he's faced them, he's won each one.
Yeah. You know, I could just see him after the game. He's like, yeah, I didn't teach you everything.
Yeah, I think Joey may be right, and why I say that is Saban's defenses obviously have been consistently excellent. But when they've had problems is when they go against really superlative offensive talent, whether it be Deshaun Watson, obviously, with Clemson, Ezekiel Elliott with Ohio State. Saban's defense has had problems with Johnny Manziel, although I don't know necessarily that he goes down in history as a superlative talent. He was definitely a great college football player. And I think Baker Mayfield is probably in that role. You know, just guys who kind of out of the structure of a play can make a big play. That's when Saban's defenses seem to have problems, like any defense would have problems. I mean, you know, any defense is going to have problems going against Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. So I think Joey may be right in that. I think Alabama was able to dodge the Heisman Trophy winner, which could end up being huge for them. And now they basically like play their little brother kind of in a national title game in Georgia. You know, Kirby Smart has basically taken that Alabama template and brought it to Georgia. Are they ready to win a national title with a freshman quarterback at the helm? If I were a betting man, I would say no, but that's why they play the games.
Why aren't you a betting man?
Yeah, newspaper wages.
Yeah.
Oh man, we used to have some pools in the office there.
Yeah, no, I actually I think did I win the Clarion football thing? I think I came out on top of that. I came out on top of a family pool, but the one pool I'm in for non-recreational purposes, I didn't get any money in, so I just can't seem to win.
I haven't played in 3 years because it was costing me so much money. I could be spending this on beer. $100 a season, you know, every one of those. Though I did play fantasy football for the first time last season, not this current one.
Me too.
And I enjoyed that.
Yeah, well, because you pay attention more to other games other than your own, you know.
Yeah.
It used to be for me, I just paid attention to the Bears game and that was about it. But yeah.
Yeah. Though there is an argument that fantasy sports is what's causing the fragmentation of fan bases and the downturn in the NFL, or the perceived downturn in it.
Yeah, I mean, you can make that point. I think I don't know. I mean, I still root for my own team no matter what. It doesn't pull me away.
So. Oh yeah. Yeah, I there were a couple of times where, you know, I had to root against the Seahawks because, you know, my kicker's on the other team.
Yeah, exactly.
I needed to win that game.
So we're close to the Pacific Northwest. What are your thoughts on the Seahawks? Has their title window closed?
I think so.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, no. Prepare for the deluge of calls now.
Yeah. We've only got 1 minute left, so I don't think they're going to be... We're taking
calls. Slip that win under the wire.
Yeah. No, I think unless they can dedicate themselves to getting a real offensive line, that allows Russell Wilson the opportunity to play the call, to make the call, plays that are called, instead of making it up as he goes along like he does now, which he's very successful at, but he's going to have a very short career if he has to keep doing that, you know. I'd say they got one more year, with Carroll, and then after that, you know, one more chance and next season, and after that, Carroll's gone, and I don't know, probably going to be a fire sale or something. Well, do they have anybody left to go on a fire sale?
Can they stay healthy? I mean, the guys they do want to keep, can they stay, keep them healthy? I mean, that's every team's big problem, but.
Yeah.
Just like Richard Sherman, is always getting hurt.
Yeah, he's running around with that pistachio elephant too much. Have you seen that commercial?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, that's a crazy commercial.
Pretty crazy, man. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what, man. You asked me about this Raiders job. I'd like to go back and coach for the Oakland Raiders, man. Remember that last time I coached the Oakland Raiders? That was the tuck roll game, man. Tom Brady was still the quarterback back then, too, man. I'll tell you what.
Chucky.
Presented by John Gruden.
Yeah, thank you. Well, it is just about 11 o'clock. This is listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula, KDLL, 91.9 FM, Kenai, Saldatna. And that's it for today's Kenai Conversation. I got Joey Klecka and Jeff Helminiak, the sports guys, men in blazers, not really, from the Clarion. Thanks for joining us.
By Geico.